So then we were Saturday afternoon. Lou and I, we went down to his house, to his apartment then, and had a little snack, and he showed me the nice place he lives in. And it's a nice apartment, big twin bed like yours and mine, and a small kitchenette and dining place and a bath. And it's in a nice building, and we've got a pretty nice place. I'd like to have one myself one day. But then he said, come on, let's go down. I'll show you where Margie and I used to do our shopping and so forth. We went down on Tuyo Street, Tudo, called, and forget the name of the other one, just some main shopping centers. And he showed me where to buy glasses and where to buy, I need a wallet in the worst way, and damn it, I haven't been able to find any, but I found some old thing I got there. And gee, wallets are easy to come by and you like to buy them, and here I am, my wallet wore out and I had to buy another one. It's too late now, but I should have asked you for one Christmas or sometime. Anyway, we had a nice visit shopping around. We went into these emporiums and markets where they got beautiful jade and jewelry and all that vinyl, that woodworking stuff, and all the oriental brass. Real pretty. And he showed me where he bought his clothes. So then we went and he had a drink here and there, and he showed me some of the nice bars he knew about. And he spoke to a lot of people and they knew him quite well. So we went around to all the places till about 6 o'clock, I guess. Lou had, maybe three scotch and waters and three beers, and I had about four or five Coca-Colas. So then he propositioned me about coming to work for him. He's setting up an outfit, and it's going to be half military and half civilian, and he needs some guys. He's going to have to fight the military, I guess. It's going to be a kind of a rugged outfit, I expect. That's what's happening up here. I'm starting to fight the military and I'm my own self, and if I can just hang on till I get my damn orders out of here, and then I'd be mighty happy and get relieved and get gone. But anyway, I'm going to hang on this next 4 weeks as hard as I can. And one of these days I'll step off that airplane about the 20th of April. You just circle that date, 20th of June. Put a nice circle around there and say, this is where old Carly and I are going to have our June wedding. That old sailor's coming home again with a bag full of dirty clothes. And things like that. So it looks to me like old Lou's said he'd try and line me up. And I'll know before I come back. He'll get his personnel allowance pretty soon. He's kind of a big shot in his work. He's Lou's smart. And I'm not that smart, but I'm good. I like me. I'm a good guy. I keep telling myself that, hoping that everybody will believe me, because I've got to show it. So I keep telling myself every time I get mad. I'm a good guy. I don't have to get mad at people. And you ought to see me try and talk myself out of things. Well, Olu and I did a little talking. He was kind of curious to know about how I managed to stay off the booze. And I told him, I didn't tell him out flat that it's just a matter between life and death. You got to choose. But I told him pretty soon a man reaches a reasoning, and if he's going to have fun or not, and he's going to live right. But I really told him the truth. I said, I'd never been able to cut her without a good woman. Never been able to cut her, Lou. You got to have a woman that loves you and believes in you and don't double-cross you. So you see, we talked about you. He talked quite a bit about his wife and kids. And he's loved that old gal of his for a long time, just like all of us. She has a hard time. She wants to, the kids are going, one of them's going to college now and living over in a dorm. And she would like to sell their house and go to, move into town in an apartment or so. Don't say anything, but that's what she said. That's what he told me. And he also told me not to say anything, so I'm not telling a soul. It's just my little microphone here, who's going to send a message to my wife. And anyway, we parted last night, Saturday night. Lou went home, and I went to my little apartment and put in a call at 6 o'clock this morning because I had an 8:30 plane out. So I woke up and got up at 5:30, and I got out and got on the airport, thought I was catching the airplane. There's a Volpar, a small plane that flies up here in about an hour and a half, and geez, I thought that's what I scheduled on, and I got on a damned old C-47 with about 60 other guys. That's the way I went down there with about 60 guys. And it had to stop in the Trang, which is a heck of a way away from where I wanted to go, and it took me 4 hours to get up here. We got underway at 8:30 and got in here about 12:30, and boy, I was pooped. Because when I went out to that crazy airport, it's Air America port, it's just a working port. No, not like airport we know. And the workers have a place where they get coffee. And so I went in there and ordered some eggs and coffee for breakfast. And I ate them. And when I drink the coffee dregs down, I tasted soap or something in it. So I went and got another cup to wash that down and tasted that soap, and I didn't drink any. But anyway, on that flight home this morning, I got the terrible bellyache, and boy, I was sick. We stopped in the Trang for 20 minutes, and I laid in that thing, and it was hot. I thought, God, what a life I lead. Well, I'm well now. I got home. Everybody here loves me and is glad to see me. Gee, I think about leaving all these people. That's going to be something else. I get an attachment for these kids around here. There's about four of them they think I'm their daddy. They just come and talk to me, and they're glad to see me and tell me all the troubles, and I just pat them and talk to them. So that's another thing. You get too fond of some people, and it's going to be hard, but I got something that's waiting for me that takes it all out. And that girl that I'm thinking about is the sweetest girl that I think is in this world. I haven't met them all, but she's the sweetest of all the girls I've met. And she's got a figure, and she's got poise, man. And she's got everything that I want. Love in her heart and spring in her step, and springing her instep and springing her bottom. And boy, I'm coming home pretty soon to tell her right straight to her face what I think about her. And I hope she's waiting there for me by that vine-covered cottage and all them romantic and poetic things they talk about. But if it's not a vine-covered cottage, it can be anything. As long as she's there to take care of me and to talk to me and to let me talk to her. And so, honey, I'm going to tell you that I'm thinking of you all the time. I love you with all my heart. Good night. Take care of yourself. And the good Lord will watch over you as he does over me. Tell all the folks howdy and pat little Cindy. And goodbye, baby. I'll see you in my next letter. It'll probably be just a day or two. Maybe sooner. I got a few tapes now, and I'll send them to you. Tell all the folks to hang on to their water wings and Bobby not to worry about a little water in his sewer. Because into each life some rain must fall. And I'm sure that the rain that falls in his life